Good morning and welcome to the programme. Today, air bridges between Ireland and other European countries, but not Britain. How will the latest plan affect tourism and relations with our nearest neighbour? Mandatory face masks on public transport, how will it work? Experts warn we have a slim window to rapidly upscale our hospitals for the inevitable second wave. The president of Cork Institute of Technology and why he thinks students who are having house parties should be arrested. Gavin James is live in studio with his new single Boxes, and Ricochet and Louisa Cameron are here with their top tips of books from around the globe. All that and lots more to come between now and 12 o'clock. If you'd like to contact the programme, you can text us on 51551. You can tweet at Today Radio RTE, or you can email todayradio@rte.ie. Now, yesterday we heard from the Aviation Task Force that they feel quarantine for travellers to the country is not working and that they want it removed by July 1st. Well, today the front page of the Irish Independent reports that while it looks like travel restrictions will be eased by the second week of July, ministers have decided to exclude Britain from the planned air bridges with other European countries. So, after all the worry over Brexit, will it be air travel corridors that ruin diplomatic relations with our nearest neighbour? And how is it all going to work? Well, I'm joined on the line now by Eoin Corrie, editor of Air and Travel, and Deirdre Heenan, professor in social policy at the University of Ulster. And good morning to you both. And thank you very much for joining me.
Morning, Sarah.
Come to yourself, Eoin, first on these air bridges. And if they were to come into being, as it appears that is the plan, we'd be travelling to and from countries with low infection rates. What countries would you expect to see then be set up with air bridges?
There'd be a couple of obvious examples, Sarah. Inbound, Germany would be a best-in-class sort of performance. Outbound, the Canary Islands is one of the lowest infection, even though Spain has a very high infection rate, the Canary Islands is one of the lower rates. The reality is the flights are already proceeding. Lanzarote started this week, Malaga started this week, and we have a lot of flights going to Britain every day. The difference, what the government can do is include countries in its travel advisory, which is against all but unnecessary travel, and that has implications for travel insurance. And obviously from the quarantine side, if countries are taken off that list, that would be immensely helpful for inbound industry. What we're seeing though is return to air travel. At the lowest point, about 12 flights a day would be going through Dublin Airport, 12 departures. It's up to about 35 departures a day. Turkish resumed yesterday, Emirates last week, Etihad the week before, and we're going to see a raft of them coming in from next week. July the 1st, Ryanair would be putting 40% of their fleet in the sky. The debate about air bridges is really about DFA advisory and the implications for insurance. It is very doesn't have enormous relevance to what's happening on the ground, or in this case in the air.
Yeah, in terms of the quarantine aspect of it though, and this idea that if you fly to and from certain countries you wouldn't have to go into this 14-day quarantine when you return. We were speaking to Dr. Gabriel Scally on the programme yesterday, and he was looking at some of the countries that have low rates of COVID-19, like Scotland, some northern countries, Germany, as you mentioned. What would the tourism be like from Ireland to those countries? How many people would be likely to want to travel there or do travel there?
Well, outbound, the two major players are going to be Spain, which we do 2 million trips to, and Portugal, 400,000. Four regions of Spain are more or less cleared for takeoff on July the 1st, and the most important of those would be the Canaries. Inbound, we're in trouble. Fado in Air and Sarah, which is really 2019, a few months ago, we would have got 11.5 million inbound tourists to the island. 4.7 million would have come from Britain, 2 million from the United States. Both of those markets look like they will be cut off in the initial phase of opening because of coronavirus. And then we're down to Germany, 800,000, and France around 560,000. There's a separate problem with those. With the quarantine, there's sort of a closed for business sign over Ireland at the moment. The major German tour operators are making decisions this week what to do with the tens of thousands of bookings that they have for Ireland. And it's a good danger that they would be reallocated to countries which are open, and they also impact on the consumer market. So from the point of view of where the politicians are looking at, all the way back to the Black Debts, it's been the same pattern. It's easier to make the decision to lift the drawbridge than when to put it back down again. They're the hard decisions that have to be made by the political interests between now and the end of the week. But there's no doubt, from the inbound tourism point of view, time is of the essence, and the quarantine is really bad news for inbound tourism.
And what about outbound to Britain then? Because people who might have been inclined to go to Britain for a short holiday, maybe a weekend trip or something like that, will be much less inclined to do that if they have to go into 2 weeks quarantine when they come back.
And that's quite interesting because Britain has a quarantine from which Ireland is excluded. We have people flying from mainland Europe into Dublin and getting on another flight to avoid the quarantine that Britain has on inbound tourism, whereas we look like we're going to be keeping it, not imposing it, but keeping it in the other direction.
You're saying people are flying in from Germany, Spain, whatever it might be, to Dublin to go to Britain to avoid the quarantine.
Yeah, absolutely. It's called the Dublin Dodge. And if you get your locator form on the aircraft, the locator form is legally enforceable arriving in Ireland. The quarantine is not. So you get a locator form as you're flying into Ireland. And the last box you tick is, are you going up to Northern Ireland or are you flying out of Dublin? And if you tick that, they won't actually track and trace you. I think the mood in the tourism industry is that location is good, tracking is good, tracing is good, but blanket quarantine is not. But to answer your question, the outbound to Britain would be very high. A lot of it would be related to events like premiership matches, things like that, which have come to a halt. But at the moment, it does look like they are going to keep a situation where people coming in from Britain and returnees from Britain will be advised to quarantine. I think most people are not deliberately going to break the law on that. They will do what they're told. But it does create an asymmetric situation, which I think it's been described out by some of the English politicians, where we're quarantining them and they're not quarantining us. And always good for a laugh when something like that bubbles up in our Anglo-Irish relationship.
Yeah, and indeed, speaking of Anglo-Irish relationship, we have, as I said, Deirdre Heenan, Professor of Social Policy in the University of Ulster, on the line. Deirdre, what do you make of this idea to exclude Britain from the plan for air bridges between Ireland and other European countries, and the effect that could have on diplomatic relations between the two countries?
Well, I mean, air bridges are, as we might rightly call them, travel corridors. When we decide which countries we're going to be, we need to look at the level of disease, the trajectory of the disease, whether or not there's a test and trace system, what is social distancing, have they flattened the curve? And if you look at all of those indicators, then you would say that Ireland would not be wanting a travel corridor with Britain, given their track record over the disease. So that's on paper what would happen. Practically, it's very, very difficult, and politically, also very difficult.
So does it effectively, or would it effectively, if this was to come to pass, suspend the common travel area between the two countries?
Well, that's the question we don't know the answer to. And could you suspend the common travel area if people wanted to come from Scotland? Couldn't they come to Northern Ireland and travel freely across the border? We're not going to have border checks. It would be very easy to do. And also, is Britain being lumped in as one country? As has already been mentioned, Scotland have been very good at flattening the disease. So should we treat them differently? And how practically could you actually do that?
So there's the practical issues there around the border, and they have been an ongoing issue. That has been an ongoing issue throughout the whole of the COVID pandemic. But in terms of the political and diplomatic impacts then, do you think that they would be significant, or do you think that British politicians would see this as just something that has to be done? They wouldn't take it personally.
I don't think they would take it personally, but I do think it would become an issue. And as your previous commentator mentioned, these issues are always interesting when they bubble up in Anglo-Irish relations. And remember, this is a time where we're negotiating a trade deal with the EU. Anglo-Irish relations probably have never been worse in terms of Brexit and the fallout from Brexit. So the British politicians will be looking to Ireland and saying, are Ireland trying to punish us? What are they actually trying to do here? But also, I think Ireland have to say to people who have dealt with the regulations, who have had restrictions on their lives, that they really must do everything they can to ensure that there isn't a second spike. And if they're really going to say, after all of this lockdown, that we're going to open our doors, fling them open and let everyone in with no restrictions, then people are going to say, well, what was the point of this? Why do we have to go through this pain? So I think for the government, it's a very difficult balancing act between, remember, our nearest neighbour and the fact that people in Britain who may think, well, I don't really want to get on a plane and go to Spain. I'm still a bit wary. But would I get on a ferry and go to Ireland? Yes, I would. Find that they feel they're not welcome. There's a big sign saying, please don't come here. And you, that will be extremely difficult as well for the tourism industry. And remember that Britain are actively promoting this idea of a staycation, saying, you know, travel close to home. Well, maybe they might think, well, we want to go to Ireland. We look to Ireland and Ireland are saying, well, actually, you're really not welcome here.
And you mentioned the Brexit negotiations, which are obviously ongoing, and the trade deal ongoing, rather than the Brexit negotiations. Do you really think that this could sour those negotiations or impact them in any way?
I don't think they will have a major impact. I don't think they will be deemed to be important when we get down to the nitty-gritty of a trade deal. But I do think that personal relationships are always important. And could this further sour relations? Yes, I think it could. I think Anglo-Irish relations are interesting in that, you know, what appears to be a small thing can tip them over the edge. And it is important that we have good Anglo-Irish relations for everyone. It's not just what is being said in terms of practicalities, but is Ireland really going to say to its nearest neighbour, not welcome here? I don't really think they can on one level. But as I said, on the other level, if they were introducing these regulations on the basis of the level of disease, how the country has flattened the curve, then they would be saying to Britain, well, we don't think you've performed very well and we actually have to protect our own population.
Mm. Just a practical question for you, Owen, coming in from one of our listeners who has two daughters in London. This listener says they're very keen to come for a weekend to see us oldies. What's the practical situation for them?
At the moment, coming in from Britain applies. The locator form is legally enforceable. The quarantine is not, and the flights are in place. It would probably be a case to hold on until the legal side of this is all sorted. It could all be sorted very quickly because the level of debate and pressure is quite high, and there is a lot of urgency about getting this done because decisions that affect Irish tourism, inbound tourism, are being made this week, not in 2 weeks' time or in July the 9th. And it may be an easier decision for an outgoing government than an inbound government. My advice would be to wait and see, but certainly all the facilities are there because the flights are back up and running. And when the flights are back up and running, that has implications from the consumer side that the compensation is no longer available. So people who decide, I want to adhere by the quarantine or by the government advice, will not get compensation. By the way, Sarah, there are only four countries, according to the airlines have been analysed, what countries would work with the air bridges on 7-day averages of new cases. And the only four countries in Europe that would be excluded, interestingly enough, UK doesn't really fit in that category according to the analysis that was provided overnight to me. But the only four countries that would be excluded are Bulgaria, Poland, Romania and Sweden. Obviously, Poland, very big implications for the large Polish population in Ireland. But the rest, all the major holiday destinations and commercial and business destinations out of Ireland would be entitled to air bridges on the 7-day rolling
averages. What's
that
based on, Owen? Sorry, Owen, can you hear me? What's that based on? What information is that based on?
Okay, the way the countries that have been proposing air bridges is the cumulative incidence in the last 14 days per capita. Now, that's what Spain, for instance, and Portugal would have set up. And that's how some of them have worked it on 7 days. And the analysis that was provided overnight by one of the airlines, Aer Lingus, is what they see as viable air bridge options far within Europe. And they're working on the 7-day average. Okay. What happens with the rolling average is sometimes a country that's performing enormously well can spike a little bit. The best in class across Europe by far was Germany, but that obviously went a little bit haywire this week. But overall, you can see as each country comes up with the Airbridge concept, the same countries are showing up in the list. It would be obviously a bit of a disaster if you looked at the deaths per million rate, because Ireland is in a very poor position in that we're probably the ninth worst in the world. But then different countries measure in different ways.
Sure.
And
okay.
The rolling averages seems to be and the Airbridge concept started off as a travel bubble, really because three Baltic countries put it together.
We're going to have to leave it there, but thank you very much for joining me. That's Owen Curry, editor of Air and Travel, and also Deirdre Heenan, professor in social policy at the University of Ulster. Now, we're going to be talking about face masks being mandatory on public transport and how all that is going to work next.